Next, we'll ask how much pressure the U.S. is really putting on Iran. For years now, the U.S. and other nations imposed economic sanctions on Iran for its nuclear program. A temporary agreement last year said the United States would back off some of those sanctions while negotiators tried to reach a nuclear deal. But in an NPR News interview this week, Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif said the U.S. is doing the opposite of what it promised.
The fact is that the United States government has shown such an, for the lack of a better word, infatuation with sanctions, that it has continued imposing sanctions, even though it had promised in the Geneva Plan of Action, which we adopted last November, not to impose new sanctions.
The U.S. did promise not to impose new sanctions, but also said it would continue enforcing sanctions still in place. So let's figure out what's really been happening. Juan Zarate is a former senior Treasury Department official who oversaw U.S. sanctions on foreign governments. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
So what kind of pressure is the U.S. still keeping on Iran right now?
Well, keep in mind, Steve, that the sanctions regime against Iran encompasses issues not just related to the nuclear file, but also state sponsorship of terrorism, support to the Assad regime in Syria, human rights abuses, even money laundering concerns. And so the U.S. has a full sort of universe of sanctions, and those continue to be implemented. The last version of this was in August, when the U.S. added 30 entities and individuals, Iranians largely, for evasion of those sanctions, the nuclear program, and continued support to Assad. And so those measures continue to be enforced and implemented by the U.S. government.
Oh, so it sounds like the Iranian foreign minister has something of a complaint here in that the U.S. is adding people to the sanctions regime as we go here, even though the U.S. would say it's still under the existing rules. Is that right?
That's right. There are diametrically opposed positions here. Iran and the foreign minister are presenting a maximalist approach to what unwinding or lifting of sanctions looks like. The U.S., though, has said very clearly that it wants to keep existing sanctions in place until there's a deal, obviously. Also, for a political purpose, the U.S. government, the administration, has wanted to demonstrate that it's willing to continue to use these measures, in part to stave off additional congressional action to add to the sanctions.
Oh, now this is interesting. You're saying that the Obama administration needs to be tough on Iran up to a point, because if not, the political support for what it's trying to do with the nuclear deal would fall apart.
That's right. There are multiple audiences for this. Part of it has to do with Congress and the politics of this. Part of this also has to do with the markets. The administration very much wants to still demonstrate that the sanctions can be effective, that they can be used for leverage at the negotiating table, and they also want the markets not to open up too quickly to Iranian business.
Especially Iranian oil, I suppose we should say.
That's right. And the Iranians have tried to host trade delegations, and their message, and part of the messaging from the foreign minister, is that Iran is open for business and that these sanctions are going overboard and certainly are unjustified. That's the Iranian position.
Well, the foreign minister of Iran also complained about Iranians being arrested in countries in East Asia for violating U.S. sanctions, which is not something he likes. Let's listen to some of that.
It's not a crime to violate U.S. sanctions in Malaysia or in Philippines or in Thailand. It's not a crime. U.S. sanctions are only applicable on U.S. territory. If somebody tries to buy night vision goggles, for instance, in Malaysia, they've not violated any, they've not committed any crimes.
Okay, so are Iranians being arrested in third countries for violating U.S. sanctions? Does that happen, and should it happen?
Well, there are certainly laws in place, not just in the U.S., but around the world to control technology that goes to sanctioned countries. Keep in mind that the U.N. has imposed a range of sanctions against Iran as well, and countries under Chapter 7 of the U.N. obligations are required to implement those. So there are requirements internationally to control certain items going into Iran, and certainly countries have started to implement that. I find it interesting that the foreign minister used the example of night vision goggles, which in some ways fall into the category of military equipment and control technology. The Iranians do have a complaint here about the extraterritorial effects of U.S. sanctions. Those have been incredibly powerful, and I think that's in part what the Iranians are complaining about.
Okay, bottom line here is the United States determined to keep pressure on Iran even as it's negotiating with Iran.
That's right. It's trying to maintain leverage, trying to send signals to the market, and trying to demonstrate that it can continue to enforce existing sanctions while negotiating for a larger deal.
Thanks very much. A pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure, Steve.
That's Juan Zarate, who is now with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.